From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled This Body Fashioned Anew. The text is Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body? Often, when we are racked with pain and unable to think or worship, we feel that this indeed is the body of our humiliation. And when we are tempted by the passions which rise from the flesh, we do not think the word vile at all too vigorous a translation. Our bodies humble us, and that is about the best thing they do for us. Oh, that we were duly lowly, because our bodies ally us with animals, and even link us with the dust. But our Savior, the Lord Jesus, shall change all this. We shall be fashioned like His own body of glory. This will take place in all who believe in Jesus. By faith their souls have been transformed, and their bodies will undergo such a renewal as shall fit them for their regenerated spirits. How soon this grand transformation will happen, we cannot tell. But the thought of it should help us to bear the trials of today and all the woes of the flesh. In a little while we shall be as Jesus now is, no more aching brows, no more swollen limbs, no more dim eyes, no more fainting hearts. The old man shall be no more a bundle of infirmities, nor the sick man a mass of agony. Like unto His glorious body. What an expression! Even our flesh shall rest in hope of such a resurrection.
By the terror of tempestuous sea, unknown waves before you roll. At the end of doubt and peril is eternity, though fear and conflict seize your Savior's nail-scarred hand will lead you to the light, for death is swallowed up in victory.
Every so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've mentioned Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does a good God allow suffering? Or, what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips are available on the ltbsradio.com website. In addition, we're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Or if you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. As he proceeds with his study of the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns is bringing the next portion of a message called The Revelation of the Wrath of God. In chapter 1, verse 16, the Apostle Paul spoke of the gospel of Christ as being the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. In verse 17, he said, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." It is the righteousness of God which lies at the heart of this book. Beginning in verse 18, Paul turns his attention to the wrath of God against sin and sinners. This is a very unpopular subject in our day, yet it is of the utmost importance to understand the basis for God's wrath in order to see the necessity for the gracious means of reconciliation with God as revealed in the rest of Romans. As Dr. Cairns will show, God's wrath is not a cold, dispassionate thing. Sin is contrary to God's holiness, and he is filled with revulsion against it. Now to continue on the theme, the revelation of the wrath of God, here is Dr. Cairns.
This expression, the wrath of God, speaks of a holy revulsion in the nature of God against every contradiction of his holiness. Such a revulsion that causes him to punish sin. That's the wrath of God. And it burns with fire to the lowest hell. Of course, liberals and rationalists detest statements like that. To them, the idea of a God who exhibits wrath against his creatures is totally unacceptable. I must say, I am greatly impressed with the humility of these people who can look in the face of God and say, you must be acceptable to us. There's a day coming when that sort of stupidity will be damned in the pit that gave it birth. And those people are going to realize they were asking the wrong question, not how will God make himself acceptable to me, but how may I be acceptable to him? Liberals tell us that a God who would do this is both harsh and violent. They tell us that the concept of the wrath of God is a hangover from the crude ideas of the Old Testament. That the wrath of God means nothing more than, by a law of nature, there is a connection generally between wrong or foolish actions and suffering. But God doesn't inflict the suffering either in this life or in the life to come. However, all this liberal rationalist nonsense is plain unbelief. According to the Word of God, as Leon Morris has well put it, God is doing something in opposition to sin, not leaving sin to work out its own consequences. It's not just that there is, by a law of nature, a connection between foolish things and wrong things and suffering. You get beyond the law of nature and see God is doing something. And that's what Paul is talking about here. In denying, of course, the wrath of God, liberalism is just showing itself for what it is. It's idolatry. I remember when, years ago in a theology class, lecturing our students back in Northern Ireland on liberalism and rationalism, tracing its rise and all the rest of it, its theories, I made this point, and they thought at first I was going over the top. I said, liberals are idolaters. That's all. They are seeking to create God in their own image. They want a God who is the projection of their own thinking. He is the extension of their own imagination or their own personality. They are the worst kind of idolaters because they're worshiping themselves. The best they can come up with is a God who is a reflection of their own pygmy selves. All the time rejecting what God says about himself. To deny the wrath of God in this context, you may as well deny the righteousness of God. To deny the wrath of God, you may as easily deny the love of God. To deny the wrath of God is to deny God both the right and the ability to act as a moral judge. To deny the wrath of God is to deny God to be good and holy, even among men. Would you count him a good man who didn't feel revulsion and anger, say, at the abduction, the molestation, the murder of a child? Has anybody here with an ounce of decency, never mind goodness about them, read of these vile characters who are all too often cosseted by our legal system, who abduct and molest and murder children? Has any man here looked at those reports without a feeling of anger, righteous indignation? You can't love good without hating evil. To deny God the right to hate sin, to deny God his wrath, is to make him incapable of loving good and righteousness. But the greatest condemnation of the liberal contention is quite simply that it flies in the face of all that the Bible teaches. Remember that this Bible is not, and I have to emphasize this, this Bible is not the record of man's evolving ideas about God. That is the fundamental folly of liberal theology. You want to get into theology and historical theology tonight, but that is the fundamental premise and folly of liberal theology, that the Bible records man's evolving views of God. What the Bible is, is an inspired record of God's progressively full revelation of himself. That's what the Bible is. And at each step of that revelation, he gives us more. What he gives us builds upon what he has given before. It never contradicts or overthrows it. But it takes the revelation to new heights, to new clarity, and to new fullness. But this book is God's self-disclosure to men. Take the Old Testament teaching on the wrath of God. Just after the children of Israel had made the golden calf, God's anger waxed hot against them. We read in Exodus 32, verse 10, that he says to Moses, "Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them." And when Moses thought of this wrath, two verses later, 32, verse 12, he spoke of it as thy fierce wrath. We turn over in the Bible to the book of Numbers, and in chapter 11 of Numbers, verse 1. We read, "When the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp." Down in verse 33 of that same chapter, we read that the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. After the children of Israel's murmuring upon God's judgment on Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, after that murmuring, God's anger was kindled. And in verse 46 of number 16 we read, "Moses said to Aaron, there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun." Now those are just a few. You could go on and on and on and on throughout the Old Testament scriptures and find there are many such scriptures that speak of the wrath of God. In the book of Psalms, for example, Psalm 21, verse 9 says, "Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them." In Psalm 78, verse 49, looking back, in Psalm 78, it's a great historical survey of the experiences of Israel. He says, "He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath and indignation and trouble." Now, there's no way of misunderstanding those things. Looking forward to the coming day of judgment, Isaiah 13, verse 13 says, "I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place, in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. Nahum the prophet sums up this view of the character of God in verse 2 of the opening chapter. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. Now, though we have only covered a few texts, that's the testimony of the Old Testament. Of course, liberals don't like to believe much of the Old Testament. They don't believe its history. They try to explain away its prophecy. They dismiss its laws. And they certainly mock its God. So what does the New Testament say? In Matthew 3, verse 7, we read of the ministry of John the Baptist. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? In John 3, 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's the New Testament. We have read tonight in Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is revealed. And as we'll see as we proceed, that's a dynamic statement. It's not it was revealed. It's not just a record of Scripture. It is now being revealed. God is still at work revealing his wrath, as we'll see as we proceed down this chapter. Over in chapter 2 of Romans, verse 5, Paul speaks of those who treasure up to themselves wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. And in verse 8, he speaks of those who will have indignation and wrath in that day. In Romans 5 and verse 9, he speaks some more of it. He says, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. In chapter 9, 22 of Romans, he speaks again of God willing to show his wrath. And here's the apostle in the great book of the gospel, and he is emphasizing the wrath of God. When you get to the end of the Bible, the book of the Revelation, one of the great themes of the book of the Revelation. Remember, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the revelation of the tribulation. It's not the revelation of the millennium. It's not the revelation of the Antichrist. All these things get a mention and get a description. But it is preeminently the revelation of Jesus Christ. And one of the great aspects of the revelation of Christ is the revelation of the wrath of God in connection with the coming of Christ. We read in chapter 6:16 of the chief captains, etc., of the earth, the Christ rejecters calling on the rocks and the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. We read in chapter 14, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep his commandments, the faith of Jesus. We read that the angel thrust in his sickle to the earth. This is what God's people are waiting for. What is it? He gathers the vine of the earth and casts it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. As Paul did writing to the Thessalonians, John is saying here, God's people are under pressure. The world hates you and the church is trampled underfoot, and it will be trampled under more in the days to come than it ever has been before. But to you who are troubled, rest with us. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ will be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 16 in Revelation speaks again, verse 1, of the way, the voice out of the temple, commanding the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of wrath upon the earth. Chapter 19:15 describes the coming of Christ as the Word of God, and out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations and rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. Remember what Paul said? We were the children of wrath, even as others. The wrath of God is real. And I want to make it very clear to you tonight. And this is what Paul is making clear. You need to be justified by faith in Jesus Christ, because outside of Christ there is nothing in God but everlasting wrath toward the sinner. This is real.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.